Let's all bow our heads and pray in silence. Hallelujah, amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I testify about how God led me through my mom's passing and how he taught me true joy and how he taught me to accept his will. And throughout my life, God has shown me his grace to our family, especially through my mom, many, many times. And some of us in the family called my mom a living miracle. And it was true because she had a lot of sicknesses. And one example that she had breast cancer, and she just like went through a successful surgery, and that was it. And then later on, she had two brain cysts. And she originally needed two surgeries on her head to get those brain cysts out. But after the surgery, she only needed, the doctor told her that she only got one surgery, and he successfully got out two of them at that surgery, and that was a great miracle from God. And so that led to two years ago during the early summer, when she first got diagnosed with lung cancer. And it already spread to other parts of her body. So she had terminal cancer right when we found out, and she had a maximum of 1 year to live, according to the doctor. And at the time, I didn't think it was that serious because I was so confident that God would heal her. And I knew that God worked in her life and would just heal her after, I don't know, like a couple months or so. And so from July of 2013 to June of 2014, my mom seemed to be doing fine and she didn't get any worse. And so the summer events came in 2014. And it seemed like after each summer event, her condition got worse and worse. But I prayed hard for God to heal her, but I guess he didn't answer my prayers at the time. And so in the summer, she got blood clots, which were it is a common side effect of cancer. And so it started from her feet, and it spread up to her legs, and if it went to her heart, then it clotted her heart, then she would die. And so it was very painful for her. And she went from using crutches and then to a wheelchair until she was bedridden in late August-ish. And it was too painful for her to walk. And her sickness grew to the point where my family told me to prepare for her death. And in my prayers, I started thinking of a life without my mom, because I was like really paranoid and I was a very pessimistic person. And my paranoid thoughts filled me with a lot of worry, and I didn't know how like I could live without her, especially like as a teenager, you're in the period of life where you need a motherly figure to take care of you. And so I prayed to God not to let her die, because I needed to someone to take care of me. And I kept telling him to answer my prayers like according to my will, instead of carrying out his perfect will. And I was scared that God would take away my mom. But throughout the summer, God, in the middle of the summer, God comforted me with a choir song, and some of you know it actually. I was introduced to the choir song in the car, and my aunt Lena was like, "Oh, hey, listen to this song." I was like, "Okay." And so I was touched by the song, and the lyrics of the chorus said, "What if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise?" And to pair up with that song, God also showed me a verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. And it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in all circumstances give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So, this passage, I always took it for granted because, it was so straightforward, and I didn't really, understand the strength that would come from doing these things. But I knew this was a message from God, so I attempted to do what I was told through that verse. So in my prayers, I started counting my blessings, and the blessings that came from the specific hardship of my mom. And surprisingly, it was no trouble for me. I could think of a lot of things that good that came out of my mom's sickness. And as each day passed, I thought of more and more positive things. And to summarize, the blessings that God showed me were like, he showed me his love, and I truly felt his love. And he brought our family closer together through a family altar. We prayed 30 minutes each night for our mom. And we also had, while my mom was bedridden, we had a lot of visitations. And it was overwhelming, but I could really feel the love of the members that visited. And a lot of members visited, like from each church. And I also felt that God guided me peacefully through this whole trial. And I noticed that my prayer completely changed. And instead of asking God to like do what my will was, I asked him to do what his will was. And I said that it was his will to take my mom back, to make sure that everyone was ready for her to leave. And God indeed was very gracious and didn't take her back until I was ready. And my mom lived actually 1 year and 2 months after being diagnosed with terminal cancer. And even though she spent the last couple of months in a lot of misery and pain, I thank God that she passed away peacefully in her sleep. And on Thursday, September 4th of last year, I was in school when the attendants called me in a panic. And I knew what happened, and it was a blessing I got to go home early. But I was initially sad during that hour, and I knew that I had to accept God's will. And God gave me peace and joy during that day, and everything went back to normal later that day, like at lunch. And so she passed away, and I didn't know why I wasn't sad. I was expecting to be sad, but I wasn't. And so when I look back at my mom, I see her joyful heart and her fervency in servitude. And many of you were there at music camp in 2014, and I'm sure many people were touched when they saw her singing and serving God with all her heart in a wheelchair. And I could also see her joy in the midst of suffering. And she kept on a heartwarming smile when she was bedridden, talking to visitors and encouraging them not to worry or to be sad. And adding on to that, I was also constantly told that my mom's sickness was her final tribulation. And I didn't really get the importance of this statement until right after she died. And when she died, our family contacted Ariel's mom, Auntie Carol, and because they were good friends. And I think she texted back, like, thank God because she's out of her suffering. And then I finally learned the lesson that this world was not my home. And my mom clearly knew this because she kept a joyful heart and a fervent spirit even when she was so sick. And she knew that all she had to do was endure through this last test, and then she would finally meet God in paradise. And so let's all turn to a verse, Romans 8, verse 28. And this is one of my favorite verses because I'll read it. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And this verse reminds me to always thank God for his perfect will. And God's will is always perfect. And even though sometimes, yes, we may suffer, but we suffer for a good reason. We suffer because maybe he wants to bring us back, maybe because we're lost sheep, or we suffer to strengthen our faith. And so in our suffering, we should always remember God's grace. And in our suffering, even though we might be in pain, we should always remember that this world is not our home. We don't suffer for nothing. We suffer with hope that one day we will meet God and be with him in eternal life. And so, like Peter Hu's lectures on Philippians, right? To have joy in suffering and to have joy by thanking God. And this concludes my testimony. May all the glory and honor be unto his name. Amen.
Praise and thank God for Brother Brandon's testimony. Even though at a young age, you can see that he, you know, God taught him a lot. And the most important thing that he taught him is that, you know, it's much more important to be with God than to be here. And he mentioned a couple of times that in the end that actually this is not our home. Our home is with our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is true. Even though in the beginning, you know, he mentioned that his mom, she has different kind of illness. But the last illness she had, and of course they all hoped that she would be also healed. But it was not God's will for her to be healed. And even though he prayed for her to be healed, but then in the end, he prayed that God, you know, if you're going to take her, please allow everyone to be ready. And because of this, you know, Brother Brendan, he felt that he was ready. He understands God's will. And this is very important. And, you know, when I listen to his testimony, maybe he's only about, what, 15 years? Are you 15 years old? No. 14 years old. I think he probably spent more quality time with his mother than most of us, even in our 40s. Because it's not the quantity that we spend time with a person, but it's the quality. See, that's why it's important for, you know, all of us and all of you who are very young, don't take your parents for granted. You must take the opportunity to spend as much time as you can with them, because for myself, I mean, I'm only my 40, but I lost both my fathers. Right, my adopted fathers and also my Cambodian fathers. And it's sad, right? Because, I mean, my fathers, they are my model, my role model. But I lost them, but I know that, you know, it's God's will. Right? God's will for it to happen. And that's why it's so important. I mean, I don't know if you heard this, not an airplane crash in Indonesia. And 142 people died. Of course, this is a military plane that has, you know, military family members fly on these things. And they would never know that, you know, their loved ones, their children, their father, their mother just die and just like that. And you and I also do not know. So that's why we must really spend the time to love one another and to cherish the time, especially with your parents. You know, parents, their love is so abundant toward us. That's why I mentioned to you before, I never raised my voice at my parents, no matter what. Because they've always been so gracious to me. And I'll tell you a quick testimony. I remember in Cambodia, because under the communists, you cannot eat any food yourself. So now if you find something, you gotta share with the whole village, the whole community. So one time, my mom, she, you know, make us this dessert. Of course, this dessert wasn't that good, but when we ate that night, among just me, my brother, my mother, right, we were eating. And my mom keep telling us, don't share this with anyone, right, don't tell them. So of course, me and my brother, we just don't pay attention. So we tell some of our friends. And some of those friends, actually, they are spies for the communists. So because of this, they arrested my brother and I and put us, you know, put bags over our heads and ready to kill us. And all I heard was my mother yelling and screaming, right? Please don't kill them. Please don't kill them. And she begged the communists to the point until they release us. And she's willing, she said, it's not their fault. It's my fault. I'm the one that make them the food to eat. So kill me instead. You know, when I heard that kind of voice, it's, how can I raise my voice at my mother? Right? How can I raise my voice at my mother? So that's why it's important. And another thing that he mentioned, I think is important, that even though she passed away, but actually she is with our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the kind of hope that you and I have and no one else have. When my Cambodian father passed away, of course my mother, she's a believer, and she really did not want to let him go. And even though he was a vegetable back then, right, because even he come out of coma, the doctor said there's no way. You know, his brain is all mush away. It's like mashed potato. That's what they're saying. It's gone. Right? So my mother is very tough for her to let, you know, my father go. But then one night, me and her, we were just, you know, putting our heads next to, you know, next to my father, of course, next to her husband. And all of a sudden, she see a man dressed in white. And at first, she thought it was me. But then she looked, actually I was asleep, and first I didn't have a white garment on, right? So she saw a man dressed in white, and that man just lay hands on her. And she was so comforted. And that time, because she didn't want to take the life support away, right? Because she wanted him. But he suffered so much, because every time they clean in the inside of him, he would convulse, right? He would like this. And every time you see that, he just feels so sad. So thank God. So Lord Jesus Christ came to comfort my mother. So my mother, you know, she agreed, let's take the life support out, because life is in the hands of God. So just the next day, then he passed away. But the most important thing is that when he was being cremated, you know, they asked the family members to pull, you know, to press a button, right, for the fire to come out, right? And there's a little window you can see. So during that time, of course, I'm a believer, my mother's a believer, and my niece, you know, they are believers. But for my older sisters and my older brother, they're not believers. So when my mother went to press the button, just the pain that fell in my older sister's heart and my brother, they just fell down, right? They just collapsed. But for us, we know actually he's in a better place. Even though actually, you know, my Cambodian father, I'm his favorite, right? And we have such good relationship. But I know he's in a better place. So that's why for us, yes, even though, you know, death will come to all of us. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow. It's going to come to all of us. But the thought of death, where we go and afterward, that's what will comfort us. That's why Brother Brendan, he shared, right? You know, yes, his mother is gone. But I guarantee you this last couple of years, the time that I have his mother is very special. Why? Because she was sick all this time. But for us, their mother is still alive. Our dad is still alive and they're healthy. Sometimes we don't spend the quality time with them. But you also know that actually God will be, she's with God. What else do you want? She's with God. And this is the hope that is inside all of us. So yes, it's good to be sad, but also don't overly sad, just like the Gentile. We are sad because we lose the one that we love, but we are also joyful because they are in eternal life with our Lord Jesus Christ. They are in paradise with our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the goal we all want to reach. So praise and thank God for his testimony.